and welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, school is back in session. Everyone is on grounds right now, and that includes our guest today, UVA Associate Head Basketball Coach Griff Aldrich. Griff, we got a little bit of a connection. You were at Longwood for seven seasons. I don't know if you know this, yeah, but you played at Willett Hall a lot of those games. That was named after my grandfather, so been following you for a long time and what you were able to do there with the Lancers. But thanks for coming on today, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to be on.
Yeah. Let's talk about it now. You've got everyone finally there together. I know it was a long road to kind of get there, you know, especially with the international recruits and waiting for waivers and everything. What has it been like just kind of seeing everyone together now?
Yeah, I think you're starting to get a bigger, a better picture of who we are and who we can be. Obviously, it's still early. But now that you have all the pieces, it really shapes things out. You know, Tess DeRitter was, you know, kind of the last piece to come in and didn't, you know, finally get all of his approvals and waivers and everything until, you know, kind of mid to late July. And so didn't really have him on the court with us at all this summer. And then even with some injuries, you know, little nicks and bruises kind of kept some people out from time to time. And so now, right now, we're at full throttle. And, you know, you're able to kind of piece together a little bit more, you know, what we think we're going to look like.
Yeah, so take me through it now. How does the next couple of weeks, months work for you leading up to the season? You know, or is it just workouts right now? Kind of how does that progress up to the season?
Yeah, I mean, just from a straight logistical standpoint, the guys are doing some heavy lifting and some conditioning with Mike Curtis. And then, you know, we'll be doing some workouts multiple times a week, usually, you know, four times a week where we're, you know, on the court with the team. And then, of course, the guys are getting, you know, in the gym on their own with shooting and individual work or film work or stuff like that, that they'll do as a supplement. You know, right now it's a heavy intensive learning time where a lot of things are being installed. You know, with a new group, and this is where, you know, Coach Odom is so good at kind of getting a you know, a vibe for the team and getting a sense of who each player is, what his capabilities are, and then starting to, you know, put the pieces of the puzzle together. So right now we're more kind of introducing a lot of the elements and certainly on the defensive side, and then as well on the offensive side, kind of sharpening some things that we worked on throughout the summer, and then obviously introducing some new concepts. So it's been good.
It goes quick. I mean, just looking at the schedule and, you know, just about a month, y'all have scrimmages at Vanderbilt and home against Villanova, which I know people are really excited for. People have got a little bit of a taste for this team through the new Proving Grounds documentary. But do you want to know the biggest takeaway that I've heard? I'm sure you've heard it already. Why don't you like cats?
Yeah, I was caught off guard that made it in there. The truth be told, I'm fairly allergic, and so cats have always been my a nemesis and my Achilles heel. So I always get congested around cats. However, that did not stop my family from always having cats. So, yeah, that's probably, probably need to talk to mom about that a little bit more.
I mean, I've always been a dog person too. Yeah. Just, you know, haven't always liked cats, but, you know, that's, yeah. It was just wild. That's 30 minutes of talking about basketball. And that's the one thing that I hear the most often is, why doesn't Griff like cats? So I had to ask the question right off the bat.
Yeah, no, I'm not. So I'm definitely a dog person. We always grew up with dogs. My sister loved cats. It was more of an opportunity to give Devin and Elijah and Jakari a hard time.
Yeah. All right. Well, Your story, obviously, you've talked about it so much over the years, is one of the more interesting ones in college basketball. But starting with, your reasoning for leaving Longwood, you'd been there for 7 years, to come to UVA, to kind of, I mean, in most people's eyes, kind of move down a slot on the bench, but to also go to a school like Virginia. What were those conversations like with Ryan when he first approached you, and why did you feel like it was the right move for you and your family?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, there's a couple of things. I think number one, your family is really important. This is a second or a third career for me, so probably, unlike, others, and I don't mean that with an air of arrogance at all, but just kind of, reality. Yeah, I did not get into coaching to climb a ladder. And so it was probably the biggest shock to me that I was a head coach ever. And so that's just, not been ingrained in me in this, this part of my career and journey. So, the family had actually been a main reason to stay in Longwood. We really loved it there. It's a great community. But as our kids are getting older, they're starting to enter into high school age, and we had spent a long time in Farmville, and my wife and I had been thinking, is this where we fully want to raise them, or do we want to give them a different experience? And that certainly, played a big role in that decision. Then number two, my relationship with Ryan, and we've been best of friends since, we were 18, and even more so, over the past 9 years in the coaching world. Ryan was, when I was at Longwood, he was my closest confidant. I could go to him with all the things that I probably didn't even feel comfortable sharing with my staff at times, doubts and concerns and fears. And so, we obviously have had a deep relationship, and really know one another well. Really know one another well, and so, he's a huge part of it. And the reality is, Ryan, I was in the private sector, and had this sense that I was supposed to get into coaching. It was Ryan who gave me that opportunity, and I don't know if I feel a debt to him necessarily, but I do feel a real sense of love and loyalty that, I want to see him thrive. And it's been really fun. It was a great joy to watch him operate at UMBC, and just to see a great friend who's really, really good at what he does, to watch them. It's a lot of fun. And so we enjoy that time together, and so being able to reconnect, was definitely, Ryan said this several times, that we felt like our time was cut short, and I fully agree with that. And then lastly, Virginia. I don't think I'm saying anything that I'm not allowed to say, but Ryan was being courted by, quite a few different schools, during this past season, and that, schools that had openings. Had he gone to any other number of schools, I probably wouldn't have gone. But there is something special about Virginia. I think it really aligns with who Ryan is, and aligns with who I am. The values of the institution, how they're trying to train up young men and young women to be future leaders, and to have a significant and positive impact on their communities and world around them. That's something that really inspires both of us, but certainly me. And not that the other institutions don't aspire to do the same thing, but having grown up in Virginia Beach and gone to school here, it means something different.
Do you remember, was there an initial call? Was it a text? Like, what was that, first contact about this job?
No, right. I mean, right. I mean, literally, Ryan and I probably talked every day, if not every day, every other day. And so, one of the things that impressed me so much is Ryan, doesn't really, we didn't really talk about jobs. You know, there's some folks who, you know, talk a lot about openings and what may open and what may not and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not like it was a daily conversation, but certainly as things heated up, there was, you know, that topic arose and, you know, just naturally, hey, are you coming with me? That type thing, discussion, you know, started to materialize.
Real quick, you know, you mentioned this is a third career or how many other careers you want to call it now. But you started off as a lawyer, you know, and you also helped found an oil gas company in Texas. But the thing was always that you were calling and talking to Ryan about basketball a lot. Were you trying to hint to him that you wanted to go into basketball?
No. I would say, you know, the reality is early in my career, early when I was practicing law, I still really struggled with should I be coaching? And my third year, every spring, I would be like, should I be coaching? And my third year, I had an opportunity to join Coach Shaver at William & Mary. And it was at the last second that Joe Wolf, an NBA veteran, you know, popped up and was like, I want to get into coaching. Coach Shaver, who I played for, Ryan and I played for at Hampton Sydney, had gone to Carolina. Joe Wolf played at Carolina. And so that position ended up going to Joe Wolf, rightly. So rather than Griff Aldrich. And to be honest with you, Preston, at that point, I almost, you know, faith is a big thing for me, particularly as I've kind of moved into adulthood, but I kind of almost felt like that was a providential sign that, hey, you know, this was an opportunity for you, Griff, to go in and it kind of out of the blue, this 13-year NBA veteran wants to go take a early entrant coaching job. You know, it just seemed like, okay, maybe this isn't for me and it's not the path that I'm supposed to go on vocationally. And so I really got comfortable probably by the time I was about 28, but you know, for about 10 years, I was just coaching AAU and I was in London for a period during that time. Not doing any basketball, but it was really, you know, I don't know if it was a midlife crisis. I believe it was, you know, God, you know, putting a call on me to get back into coaching. But that's, you know, that was kind of that journey.
This offseason, obviously, it's a very different landscape in college basketball as you've kind of gotten used to over the last few years. Yeah, as you're kind of trying to build this roster, you kind of had to step into, I think they call it the de facto general manager role. What was it like kind of trying to build this roster together with Ryan and the rest of the staff?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, well, first off, it was definitely an all hands on deck, venture. I thought the staff did a phenomenal job working together. Hosting visits, you know, quickly evaluating potential prospects and trying to figure out what fit, what didn't. You know, I think part of it is, you know, Ryan's so good at knowing what he likes, what fits him, what fits. And again, his knowledge and familiarity with the university, I think, was really important. So knowing, hey, what fits me, but what also fits the university is really important. And so I think that gave us a real advantage, you know, relative to other staffs that were coming in for a first time. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of late nights. It was a lot of, early mornings and a ton of time on the phone.
How do you approach the international part of this? I think that's kind of become a bigger thing in college basketball, but especially with, you know, Tester Ritter, I know that wasn't an easy one to kind of get over the line with all the moving parts that had to happen there. And I think Ryan was, you know, pushing you to finish that because he saw an opportunity there.
Yeah, to start back, you know, we've got just a number of guys on this staff who have deep relationships internationally. You know, Ryan's been coaching obviously for a long time and has been recruiting internationally for a long time. And so you just like recruiting here domestically, recruiting internationally is also all about relationships. And so being able to source prospects, source, you know, talent, Matt Henry, you know, one of our assistants is, you know, has great knowledge of the international space and tremendous relationships, as does Matt Hart, who does a lot of our analytics work, but also really, you know, really helps and in many ways leads the effort, you know, to kind of, you know, evaluate international prospects. And then, you know, obviously we had a lot of international players at Longwood as well. And so, there's, you know, kind of working all of those angles, we were able to go after quite a few internationals. And, you know, Johan Grunlo, is going to be a great player, in a Virginia uniform, before it's all said and done. And then obviously Tess as well.
What do those guys look like in person now that you've gotten to see them for a little bit?
Man, they're big. They're big. Now, you know, Johan is sneaky big in my view. You know, he's not thin. But you kind of think, oh, maybe 6'10", 6'10". And then you're like, man, he is a big, big human. And then Tess as well, you know, Tess is just mature. And the great thing though, Preston, you know, talking about these guys, I think, you know, one thing I would want to underline and is that they're incredible people. Like, you know, that's probably been the most special thing about this. And you get a sense for it when you're recruiting them, you talk to them, but it's kind of like, you know, going to your girlfriend's, you know, parents' house the first day. Everybody's on their best behavior. And, but, you know, the more you get to know these guys, you know, the better they are. And it's just really fun to be around them.
Two more real quick. Chance Mallory, obviously local kid. I'm sure you've seen him around even before you got to UVA. What does he look like just as he's getting adapted to the college game?
Yeah, Chance has been probably one of my biggest, you know, pleasant surprises. I always knew he was going to be a really good college basketball player. But he plays with a level of maturity that certainly is beyond his years. And, you know, he's got a lot of natural ability. He's been coached really, really well at the high school and AAU levels, and I think that served him extremely well. But you know, he's jumped in and does not look out of place at all. Does not look like a freshman most days, I'm really excited for him. And again, you know, fantastic basketball player and really fun to coach. But just an awesome guy. I mean, truly somebody that is just, I think the Virginia community, we're lucky to have him. And, you know, he's lucky to have us, but, he's just gonna be a fan favorite, I'm sure.
Last one, under the radar, is there a guy that's not getting as much, you know, publicity, I guess, through the off season that you think has been really good in practice and workouts?
You know, I think a bunch of guys, you know, but if you think about publicity, I'm probably not on social media as much, but, you know, guy like Sam Lewis has been really good for us. I'm excited for him. We've got him for 2 years. I think that's going to be a real blessing for him and for the program. Where he's got some time to really kind of develop, mature, and blossom. And then, you know, the Ugo Onyensa, you know, I think his journey from Kentucky to Kansas State, he showed real exciting, you know, flashes throughout the summer. And, you know, if he can, you know, sustain that at that level, you know, we're going to have two really fantastic centers with Johan and Ugo. And so I'm excited to kind of see if those guys can really kind of not only maintain what they've been showing us, but really kind of mature. One thing, Preston, is, when you have a new player, there's usually a acclimation, process and a time period where they're trying to figure out, the coach's voice. Hey, you're telling me to do this. What does that even mean? You're using words or jargon. We at my old school, we called it this, and you're calling it that. So it's just taken me some time to acclimate. And so my hope is really with all the crew, that, as they get more comfortable with us and more comfortable with the system, everything becomes more instinctive. And that certainly will happen, and it takes time, but I'm excited.
All right, Griff, I know you got meetings to go to. Do you like the GM role, I guess, right now that you're in?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm an informal GM role, but
No.
I think some of it is some of it just lends to kind of my past experience in corporate
Sure.
law and kind of some of the things we're doing, and with contracts and things like that. But it's been a whole staff. This has been a whole staff effort, and so I'm just kind of plugging, holes. Maybe it's the GM role, maybe it's not, but it's just more, I'm plugging my holes and helping to build in a lane that I can run in. And I think the entire staff is doing that. And so it's been really good, putting this roster together. And so that's, and everybody's had kind of a huge push and involvement in that.
All right, Griff, thanks so much for coming on the Who's On podcast. We'll see you in a month, I guess, as we're getting ready to get this basketball season going. Thanks, man.
Awesome. It's going to be fun.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. Big thank you to our guest today, UVA Associate Head Coach, men's basketball, Griff Aldridge. Thank you for his thoughts. A little bit more men's basketball news than I guess we're expecting or usually get in this time of year here in September, but a lot happening this week. UVA men's basketball schedule release came out earlier this week on Tuesday, and then also Ryan Odom spoke to the media on Wednesday. So touching on both of those things real quick before we head out here today. Big news on the men's basketball schedule release on Tuesday was for the first time in 99 years, UVA and Virginia Tech will close the regular season against each other. Obviously, we're so accustomed to that now because of football, but this is actually the first time in 99 years. I think 1927, as our friend of the podcast, David Teal, reported, that was the last time that these two schools closed the season against each other. So it's been quite some time, and I'm actually a big fan of this because it's been, UVA against Louisville for the large part this last how many ever years. Didn't happen last year, but that's usually been the kind of the matchup is UVA versus Louisville, and I like kind of ending it there against Virginia Tech. I think that's a really good feel to it. Opening at Virginia Tech at Castle Coliseum, that one's going to be a little interesting. I think that's the second time that these two schools have opened ACC play against each other. Now they're going to close it as well. So I like the nice bookends, open ACC play. That one's going to be December 30th or December 31st. So we could have a New Year's Eve game down in Blacksburg. And then they will close the season. That game scheduled for March 7th, Saturday, March 7th. So, little interesting twist to the schedule, and it's kind of a nice thing to see. Other big note, no big Monday games for Virginia this year. Now, usually you get at least one, maybe two. I'm a little interested and maybe shocked about getting no big Monday games. Only five ACC schools land big Monday games this year, and they all get multiple of them. UNC, Duke, NC State, Syracuse, and Louisville are all going to play multiple big Monday games. Louisville, NC State, Duke, I think they have three each. So a lot of big Monday games going to those schools. And I mean, you look at the brands, obviously UNC, Duke, Louisville, Syracuse for, you know, everything that they had there with ESPN. Obviously, those brands get there, but then also the Will Wade. There's a lot of Will Wade talk going into this season, and I feel personally that Virginia is right about the same level as NC State going into the season, and you know, a lot could change as we go on, but it is surprising. There's a lot of NC State talk on the national level to get those five, you know, to get those multiple big Monday games for them. So Virginia, we won't see them on Monday nights this year. And we're not even sure if we're going to see them on Tuesday or Wednesday nights. The weird thing and quirk about this schedule is I think this is actually 2 weeks earlier than we're used to seeing the ACC men's basketball schedule come out. And so they haven't actually finalized, are these games on Tuesdays or Wednesdays yet? And for the midweek games. So a lot of that's going to fluctuate around. I think Virginia, they have multiple games like that. You know, starting off with their ACC opener against Virginia Tech, that could be Tuesday, December 30th, or it could be Wednesday, December 31st on New Year's Eve. We don't know about that one, but I think one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight of their midweek ACC games are up in the air. We don't know if it's going to be Tuesday or Wednesday. David Teal did report in his story that that's all supposed to be get finalized by the end of the month. So we will know before the season starts. So you will be able to plan your travel at least a little bit of ahead of time. But we do not know those yet. I think the only one that I counted that was set in place for a midweek game was when Virginia hosts NC State on Tuesday, February 24th. That one is not flexed. That game will be on Tuesday, according to the schedule release. So, other than that, a lot up in the air for this ACC basketball schedule still. Throwing out a couple key dates on here. I'm sure everyone's kind of scoured the schedule already to see what they're going to be looking at. Of course, new this year, it's an 18-game conference schedule where you play two teams twice. And then you miss one team completely. So the team that they will not play is Clemson. I know Ryan Odom actually had teased the possibility of playing Clemson in a non-conference ACC matchup, but obviously that did not come to fruition. In the end, they will play NC State twice and they will play Virginia Tech twice. So we talked about the two Virginia Tech games. NC State, they open ACC play with back-to-back road games at Virginia Tech. And then at NC State, that second one at NC State on January 3rd, that's a Saturday. Then another key one at Louisville on January 13th or 14th, whichever Tuesday or Wednesday they pick for that one. Obviously, Louisville's going to be a really good team this year. But even more so, Isaac McNealy will play Virginia for the first time since he transferred out. And then kind of an interesting little quirk in the schedule as well. Virginia's home ACC opener will be either Tuesday, January 6th or Wednesday, January 7th, and they will be hosting Cal in that ACC home opener, which is interesting because, of course, Dede Ayms, former UVA point guard, now at Cal, so they will have a little bit of a home reunion when the Golden Bears come to town. Other key games, home against UNC on January 24th. That's a Saturday. So obviously that will be a game that is highlighted for most fans to be at. I'm sure that will be one of the highest attended games of the season. I do want to draw attention to this five-game stretch to end the season. They got home against Miami. We don't really know what Miami is going to look like. They look like they're going to be improved from what they were last year, but new coach Jay Lucas there brought in a lot of talent this offseason. A lot of people have been hype about their transfer incoming class. Then home against NC State, that game I mentioned already, at Duke. Of course, everyone's going to want to see what they do in that one game against Duke this year. That is Saturday, February 28th at Duke. And then they close the year with back-to-back home games, home against Wake Forest. We'll see what the Demon Deacons look like this year under Steve Forbes, and then home against Virginia Tech. So really interesting ACC slate this year and a kind of new scheduling format. I like the bookends with Virginia Tech. And, you know, I think that NC State home and home is going to be really interesting in ACC play because I think those two teams, you've got kind of the Will Wade-ness of it all, and you got the Ryan Odom more subtleness of it all. So I'm excited to see that. Those two guys definitely know each other. So then let's get to Ryan Odom now. Spoke to the media on Wednesday, just kind of doing a little check-in as practice gets underway, the ACC schedule comes out. So doing a little check-in with the media. We've heard from him multiple times this offseason, and obviously he's been making the rounds on some national podcasts as well. So definitely getting a lot more Virginia basketball off-season stuff than we normally would. We've just heard from Griff Aldridge, the associate head coach there too. So getting a lot more out of that program than we normally would. One more note on the non-conference scheduling. Ryan Odom talked about it a little bit. Since they go from 20 ACC games to 18, that added two non-conference dates that Virginia kind of had to add at the last second. And those have both ended up being neutral site games. So they will play Dayton and Charlotte. A game that we already knew that, Coach Ryan Odom said kind of came together at the last minute. He's good friends with Anthony Grant, the head coach at Dayton. That was kind of a very last minute thing because another non-conference game, you can speculate on what game that would have been, fell through kind of towards the end there. So Dayton, that was the one that kind of came in at the end to kind of replace that. That one's in Charlotte on Saturday, December 6th. Also the same day as the ACC football championship. So just a note to make there. And then the other one is actually during conference play, Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. You've got the Nashville Hoop Showdown against Ohio State. Now, this is something that other schools have been doing, some of these kind of neutral site or non-conference games in the middle of the ACC play. Kind of gives you a good barometer. You've been playing for a while. You're not playing a non-conference game that's really tough at the beginning of the schedule. So really good opportunity for Virginia there. Said both of those were the games that kind of came to fruition after the ACC gave them those two games back. The biggest news of Wednesday, I made the joke afterwards. Ryan Odom spoke to the media for 30 minutes, but UVA fans are only going to pay attention to one of those minutes because new uniforms are on the way. With a caveat, Ryan Odom said there will be three new basketball uniforms this year, but did add that they are still a Nike Elite school. So, there will be the two standard uniforms that we've seen from Virginia in the past. I don't know if those have altered at all from Nike and what that deal looks like, but they have little input into what those kind of look like and, kind of how that works itself out. But they have added three new uniforms that they will also be debuting throughout this season. There's going to be reveals. He said the uniforms weren't even there yet, so he couldn't really say what they look like. But good news, there will be some new look uniforms this season. I really, personally, I liked what they did last year with the orange uniforms, the white uniforms with the orange script. I thought that was a good attempt to kind of get back some of that classic UVA look to those uniforms. I thought it was a really good start. Obviously, the script on the uniforms needs to be a little bit bigger. They could do a lot of things. So I hope that they kind of use some of that vein towards what they're doing with these new uniforms. We'll see. Ryan Odom called himself a gear guy, so he likes experimenting with new gear and everything. So we'll see what those uniforms look like. Only other note, they've had Test Ritter and Johan Grunlo now for practices. They've actually got to work with them in person, after kind of recruiting them sight unseen. Before, Ryan Odom says, Johan Grunlo got to grounds and was not up to game shape or not into practice shape even yet. And so they were kind of working him in there. I think that's why, we saw some of, slow footedness and some of those highlight clips that people, were passing around. But he says he's looked really good, really physical, and says he's really ready for the season. And the other thing is Tester Ritter is a bully, kind of his style of play. But I thought the interesting thing to take away from that, I know the bully comment kind of, was better for social media, but the thing that I took away from that is in Spain, Tester Ritter, very much a role player, playing in the second best professional basketball league outside the NBA. Here, he's expecting him to be one of their go-to guys. And he said as much on Wednesday about Tester Ritter. And it sounds like good early signs from DeRitter in practice that, that's going to be something that he's going to be able to step up into. He's already said he's been one of the more vocal guys, even in just a short time. Also said some of the other guys being leaders, Devin Tillis, Dallin Hall, Malik Thomas, none of the big surprises there. Guys that played a lot of college basketball and some older veteran guys. So interesting to see a lot of random September basketball news. And, before we know it, in about a month, I think we're going to have our first scrimmage. No details yet on what that's going to look like, but Thursday, October 16th at Vanderbilt, and then Friday, October 24th, home against Villanova. So we're going to see these Cavaliers before we know it. But just a little basketball news to drop with you, along with this Griff Aldridge podcast. Thanks again to Griff for hopping on here. We'll see him a lot this year at JPJ. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Who's On Podcast. Remember to like and subscribe to the Who's On Podcast new YouTube channel. Check that out. Also, as always, follow, subscribe, leave 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Do whatever you can. Just a like, just a follow, just a subscribe, a share, a retweet. Whatever you can do, it's always appreciated here on the Who's On Podcast. We will come to you again next week after the William & Mary game. That game is coming up this weekend, so we will talk some more football next week. But until then, thanks for listening.